Well, good morning again. This is our third week of Lent and the third week of our sermon series, Words from the Cross, things that Jesus said to us from the cross. Have you ever said something and had people misinterpret what you are saying? Or have you ever started to say something and the person you are talking to just jumps right in and lets you have it without letting you finish? For example, if I started to say, this is a horrible day, some of you might jump in and say, oh my, what happened? Is something wrong? Some of you might just cut me off and say, how can you say it? It's the Lord's day. I mean, after all, it's not a phrase you would normally hear from a pastor on a Sunday. But if I were to finish that phrase and say, this is a horrible day to miss church, right? We had a passing of the peace. We had great hymns. It's a season of Lent. Praise God. See, some phrases, when used in part, provide a different completely meaning than if we hear the whole phrase. So look at this phrase. We've heard oftentimes, Rome wasn't built in a day. We've all heard that. And this phrase, when you hear that, it imparts patience, a sense of hang in there, an awareness that things take time. But here's the actual quote. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was burned in one. Now that changes things, doesn't it? How about a phrase that has been misquoted over the years? Blood is thicker than water. It gives us an image that there is no bond stronger than the bond of family. But do you know what the actual quote is? The actual quote is, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And this means that soldiers who have shed blood together through their allegiance have a stronger bond than those of men who share the same womb. In other words, army buddies in war are closer than brothers of the same mom. That changes it, doesn't it? You get that, don't you? So it's no surprise that even I have looked at this phrase in the wrong context. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now think of the image that this provokes to most of us. My God, why have you forsaken me? In this phrase, we see the humanity of Jesus. We can feel his anguish, his pain, and his brokenness. And certainly there are times that in our own lives we have felt this. My God, why have you forsaken me? But this is where we have taken this phrase all wrong. We assume that this moment that he felt abandoned by God. And after all, we have all had moments of darkness and tragedies when we cry out to God and we plead to him and we ask, why God? Or we even ask, are you there, God? But after further study, I believe that this is not the case for Jesus. Oh yes, we do see his humanity, and at the same time, we see his greatness. For he had the power and the ability to save himself from this horrific act. Yet he chose to endure the suffering, the pain, the humiliation, and the burden of the world's sin. But we have to pause for a moment and look in the context of the Jews of his day, and even some of them got it wrong. Our scriptures from Mark says that at 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard that, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Some ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And they said, now leave him alone and let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. You see, based on a prophecy in Malachi, most of the Jews believed that just as Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire, they believed he would also return in a chariot of fire, blazing the way for the Messiah. There is some speculation that the bystanders mistook the word Eloi, which is very close to the Hebrew word for Elijah. And another theory on this mistake comes from the very passage that Elijah is taken up. From Kings we read, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. As you can see, this cry of my father from the scripture is close to my God. So this is the reasons they thought he was talking about Elijah. They didn't hear his quote just right. But we know that Jesus was not calling for Elijah. And I don't believe he was crying out, my God, in abandonment. So we're going to try something. If I start a phrase, I want you to finish it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I believe Jesus here in this scripture was using a hymn. The same way we would use a favorite hymn or a passage. How many times have you used a hymn of comfort or scriptures of comfort like the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I. You see, Jesus at this moment uses a hymn about sorrow and pain, which is also a hymn about triumph. And Carlo read this to us this morning as part of our scripture reading. This comes from Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. But you see, it starts off with desperation, but quickly the writer of the Psalms realizes that God is God and that God has delivered before, and he has promised to deliver again. He goes on to write, yet you, the praises of Israel, are enthroned in holiness. And you, our forebears, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. And you they trusted and were not disappointed. And now as you listen to the rest of Psalms 22, I want you to think about these words and think about Jesus on the cross. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me, and they make mouths at me, and they shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Do you see the parallel here? Yet it was you who took me from the womb, and you kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword and my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, and all offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For our dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord. All who go to the dust shall bow down before him, and I shall live for the Lord. Posterity shall serve the Lord. Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. Surely the Lord has done it. Do you see how appropriate that Jesus uses the Psalms? Do you see how it parallels what he was going through? A man left alone, beaten, encircled, parched with thirst. But all the while he knows that God will have victory. Very, very appropriate that Jesus would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not crying out in anguish, but crying out because he was repeating the song of victory from Psalms. These final words are very purposeful. Understanding that these final words were part of the hymn from Psalms is consistent with many of the other final words that Jesus spoke. Many of the final words that Jesus spoke from the cross are indeed prayers, promises, and acts of mercy. All of his final words are scriptural in nature. And through his final words from the cross, we see Jesus acting out his very own teachings as he died on the cross. Jesus taught us and told us that there would be tough times. Jesus said that we would suffer, and we would specifically suffer in his name. But he also promised us comfort and power through the Holy Spirit. He promised us victory. Could you imagine if we put these practices into play every time things got rough? What if we modeled Jesus during our toughest moments? What if we had the courage, as Jesus did, to pray for those who hurt us, to forgive those who hurt us? And what if we looked past our own needs and looked to the needs of those around us, even while in distress? What if we chose to sing about hymns of God's glory? What if in those times we recited scripture? What if we were a witness about the eternal paradise of Jesus Christ? Oftentimes we are the ones mad at God when things get rough. And when we get mad, we are the ones who quit talking to God. We become the ones who complain about our lives. You see, that is backwards from the teachings of Christ. We have Christ, and having Christ should make a difference in our lives. And if you find yourself suffering, try prayer, read scripture, forgive others, and serve the needs of others. And when you do this, you just might find renewal in the Holy Spirit. You just might find that comfort and peace. Even in tough times, if we lived as if God made a difference in our lives, then we would make a difference in the lives of those around us. Do you get that? If we lived as if God made a difference in our lives, then we would make a difference in the lives of those around us. Do you get that? Because when times are tough and when times are hard, that's when the world's going to look at us. And they're going to be like the people standing around the cross saying, now where is your God? You go to church, When things are going well, you can stand up and sing to the best of the hymns and the songs on the radio. But where's your God now that you're in trouble? That's when people need to see God the most. When we're at our lowest, when we're at our toughest. Because if we live our lives as if God made a difference in our lives, then we will make a difference in the lives of those around us. So now comes the question, are you living like God makes a difference? Because that's what's going to grow this church. That's what's going to change this community. Because if you don't live like God makes a difference in your life, then people are going to say, why do I get up and go? Why should I give up my Sunday morning to come to church? What reason do you give them? You should say, because it makes a difference in my life. Going to church and worshiping God makes a difference in my life. Going to church and sharing the fellowship of these loving people makes a difference in my life. Learning about God's word and understanding his nature and his character makes a difference in my life. And when you go to work, or you go wherever you go, when you go to the doctor, when you go visit family, they need to see that this makes a difference in your lives. And when they see that it makes a difference in your life, you'll start making a difference in their lives. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is a sometimes hard for people. And Lord, I ask that you just open them up and let them see what Jesus saw. Let them see that even in the darkest of moments, even when we feel at our loneliest and our lowest, that you have always been there and you will always be there. And we have the promise of eternal victory. And Lord, when we are down, let our faith shine its greatest. Let us let people know that you do make a difference. Let us draw strength on the example of our Savior. Let us draw strength from prayer. Let us draw strength from your word. And let us draw strength from one another. Lord, I pray that we become a church of difference makers. And in order for us to make a difference, we have to allow you to make a difference in us. I'm ready, Lord. Let these people be ready. Let us make a difference. Amen.